How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. I ended the intro a little too early.
caught me off guard.
God damn it. Caught me off guard. All right. So today, guys, we have a very good friend of mine, Jeremy. Hi.
How's it going?
Good. He's with Fastlane MC. All right. And he builds bikes and works on bikes. And he's local here in Phoenix, Arizona. And we're going to be talking a little bit about the motor bicycles. And probably a lot of other things. So we'll see how it goes. Introduce yourself, Jeremy.
How's it going?
That's it?
Well, I don't know what to say.
All right. So the reason why I want to get Jeremy on is he personally works on my bikes. I mean, he's amazing at what he does. He takes a lot of pride in his work, and he's worked on behind me my 07 Dyna. A lot of you guys are familiar with the gold one with the flames. He's the only one I allow touching my bikes. So you're the only one that can touch my pipes.
I totally forgot what I was about to say.
Did that throw you off there? He's the only one I allow to touch my pipe. So yeah, man, I guess the first thing I want to ask is, what's your current project that you're working on right now?
Well, right now we got the showcase coming up. I know you guys are going to be with us up there.
Yep.
We've actually been building a, and I know I might get a lot of hate for it, but, you know, to each their own, we're building a 30-inch big wheel bagger right now.
Ooh.
To put into the show.
Is that the one I saw, the black one?
Yeah, the black one. Yeah. It's got a 30-inch chip foos wheel, front rear air ride, body kit from Insane Asylum Motorsports, all together from front wheel to the tip of the rear fender, it's 12 feet long.
Holy smokes, dude. Yeah, I mean, that thing was already, like, pretty gnarly when I saw it as it was, and then you were describing what you were going to do to it, and I was like, that's insane.
Yeah.
So I can't wait to see it. How much longer do you do until you're done?
Well, as of right now, we're just waiting on my painter right now. You know, he's doing his thing. You know, every paint job I've ever gotten from him, he knocks it out of the park. You know, this one's taking a little bit longer, but, you know, when you're building a higher-end bike, you know, sometimes good things take a little time.
Yeah, that's true. What kind of theme are you going for?
Not really a theme. We, you know, more or less, like, we've got a paint scheme on it that the customer, so the guy that owns the bike also owns a excavation company. Mm. Excuse me. And his truck, or his dump trucks are all painted the same color. Mm-hmm. And it's this BMW blue on it. I don't remember what it's called, but that's basically what the paint that we're gonna put on it with, like, black accents here and there.
Nice. That's gonna look good. Cool, man. So it's his bike though, but how long has he been working with you?
Oh shoot. We've
because that's got to take a lot of trust to actually. You know, put that kind of stuff on your bike. So
yeah,
doesn't sound cheap either.
We've been building that bike. I want to say April will be a year.
Okay.
That we've been building it, and I actually had already built him one prior to this that we finished last year in February, and you know, just a nice little 13 road glide. You know, did a lot of work to it: paint, body, bars, motor work. You know, underglow, stereo, like, we did a lot of work to it. We finished that one, and then he purchased this one, and it's kind of funny. As soon as this one's done, he wants me to take that road glide that we just finished and turn it into a big wheel, too.
Dude.
So I'm just like, man, I just finished it. Like, you got to give me a break or something.
Yeah. Let me take a little bit of a week break. Well, that's cool, man. It's good to hear. So you're based out of here in Phoenix.
Yep.
You haven't really worked anywhere else.
Nope.
You're building and established out here. Are you from here?
Originally, yeah.
Were you, like, born and raised here?
Born here, raised in Colorado, Colorado Springs Monument area. Mm. You know, used to come visit family every year, so no stranger to the heat down here. And I like it a lot better here. I could ride my bike a lot more.
Yeah. So the reason, the way that me and Jeremy met is we at Rebel Reaper were a vendor out at Arizona Bike Week. I want to say back in April 2020. That was during the pandemic when everything was going kind of sketchy and
you had to wear a mask outside.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was extremely weird. So we had our booth set up there and Jeremy came up to our tent and, you know, we started talking, kicking it off. And I was like, hey, man, you know, I'm at the point now. I do not by any means consider myself a builder. So when I say I'm quote unquote building a bike, that means just throwing on some bolt-ons. So I remember talking to Jeremy and I was like, you know, these days I don't really have much time to work on my own stuff. So I was like, hey man, do you want to work on my bikes? And seriously, since then, I think you, perfect timing.
Yeah.
You helped me out with the Dyna. I wanted to throw on, you know, a chain kit and all these extra upgrades. You tuned it up, made sure it runs perfectly fine.
We had your Sportsters too.
Yeah. 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 I remember. Yep. The white one.
Yep. The white one.
So I was working on my white Sportster and I think it was a 2002. Mm-hmm. And I remember working on it in the old shop. It did have a couple issues and I was basically taking everything apart for powder coat. And I was like, yeah, man, I can put this all back together. And then when you're trying to run your business, you're kind of like, well, fuck, man, where was that bolt? Man, I'm missing that part. So I told Jeremy, I was just like, hey man, can you basically Lego this shit and put it all back together and make sure it's solid? So he took it from there and man, that thing came out absolutely great. When he dropped it off, I was really surprised because that was the first time I actually saw it fully running and actually the way it was.
That was at one of your, we trailered it over to your,
car and bike show.
Car and bike show. Mm-hmm. Yeah. At the old shop.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got it there, got that thing dialed. It was kind of funny. I was having issues with the timing on it. Mm. Something was going on with that ignition system and, you know, I'm sitting there and my old lady's yelling at me like, babe, we got to go. Like it's, you know, we're running out of time and you know, I'm yelling at her back. Like, I know, you know, give me a second. I'm ripping it up and down the street trying to get it dialed. And next thing I know, I adjusted it a little bit more and I took it for one rip and it was solid. I turned it right around and right up onto the trailer and we came.
Dude, perfect timing too. Yeah, I think I heard, you know, when we talked about it after, you said it was a little bit of a challenge because I changed the tank. It wasn't the typical Sportster peanut tank. We did more of like, I don't want to say it was a Dyna size tank, but
I think it was like a street bob almost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was a bigger tank. I think it was a 4.5 gallon, if I remember correctly. Yep. And you know, you fabricated your own ways to make it fit. And I know it wasn't really the easiest task, but you absolutely knocked it out the park and it came out great. I mean, just how I visioned it. I mean, I owe a lot to you for doing that one. So
yeah, that was actually fun trying to basically look at how the manufacturer that built those tanks, because there was a couple people out there that made those brackets. Mm-hmm. You know, those what do they call them? Just their own brackets to swap everything over. And I remember looking at it, going, yeah, that's a piece of crap. I can make that better.
Yeah, and then you did. So, yeah. And it came out great. And then I ended up selling the bike.
Yeah.
What's up, babes? The door was unlocked. Nope. I texted you, it was locked. Come on in. It's my wife, ladies and gentlemen. She's joining us for today's podcast. She's not going to be on it. Don't worry.
Bros only.
We got some burrs, though.
The burrs.
Some Coors Light. That was very nice of you to bring it over.
Absolutely.
It's been a rough day, so
sitting
thank you.
On my lap on the bike.
And I see Dalton over here. He's got backups. He's got backups ready to go. What a nice guy. All right. So let's get back into it. So, yeah, I ended up selling that Sportster. I actually built it for my lovely wife, who just showed up. But, you know, just come to realize we had way too many bikes, so I ended up selling it. So
you can never have too many bikes.
Recouped quite, you know, the funds that I put into it. Yeah. And then I found out later that the girl was trying to sell it like 2 weeks later.
Yeah, I remember you raffled it, didn't you? Or did,
no, not that one.
Not that one. No. I remember talking to you that you had sold it, and then like a week or two later, you know, because I'm always on Marketplace, always looking for, you know, good deals or, you know, what have you, just killing time. And I remember like scrolling past it real quick and something in my brain clicked and I was like, wait, that looked familiar. And I scroll back up and I saw it and I saw like the name on it. I was like, that's neither Matt or his wife. Like, mm-hmm. What the hell is this?
Yeah. Like, who is this chick? Yeah. Yeah. So, but we ended up selling it, and I think she was trying to sell it for less than what she got it for me, which I don't know. She absolutely fell in love with the bike, mm-hmm. and I was surprised when I saw it when you told me it was for sale. So, anyway, moving on. No, it wasn't. That one was EFI.
It wasn't.
Was it? Do you remember, Jeremy?
No, that one was carbureted.
Oh, it was? Okay. Yeah. Well, fuck, man. That shows you how much I was riding it, guys. So, anyway, I had two other bikes, okay? So, anyway, I ended up picking up a 2020 Lowrider S. And I remember the day that I told you it, and I was like, hey, man, I'm getting the chain kit. I'm getting dual gauges and all these little upgrades. And I was like, can you throw all this stuff on for me? And I know you're a busy man, right? You had other bikes and other things you're working on, and this is why I love your work ethic, because I remember telling you multiple times, like, you have an amazing work ethic. But I dropped off that bike, and literally within 24 hours, you got it all done.
I think I had...
I was blown away.
Yeah, you had dropped it off, and I think a few hours later, I was already texting you pictures of your...
Yeah.
Of the shocks and... What?
Damn.
I had something. Sorry. I had, like, most of it done, and I think we did the chain kit the next day, mm-hmm. like bright and early, and yeah, we had just banged it out and got on to the next one, came to pick it up, and we're like, yeah, cool, later.
Yeah, I know, because you're busy. You're like, man, I got other shit to do, and it was like 8 p.m. and I'm all smiling riding it down the street and like, woo, yeah, this is great. So
and then there was the key debacle.
oh yeah, key debacle, goddamn.
And then it was leaking randomly.
Not the new one.
Oh, is that the new one?
Yeah, I'm talking about the 2020 Lowrider.
Oh, yeah,
the Dyna, the gold Dyna.
We only talk about things that make me sound good.
Yeah. So, yeah, Jeremy had an issue with my 07 Dyna. It wasn't anything to do with him, but this guy's amazing, though. So it was leaking oil, like, constantly. And what was the issue that happened with that?
It was the fifth gear seal in between the tranny main shaft and the spindle that your clutch basket sits on.
Oh.
And the reason I kept thinking it was something that I did was, you know, when we did the chain kit on it, you know, obviously inner and outer primary and all that's got to come off, and you replace that main seal on the back. And if you're not careful about it, you know, and usually you just want to lube up the, you know, spit on the shaft a little bit, lube it up.
Yeah, got to get spit on the shaft.
Yeah, got to lube up the shaft a little bit just to kind of help put the seal on, and you know, it's just so not, you know, it doesn't rip or anything like that, and you got to be careful putting it on. And I think I changed that seal. I got to a point to where I think doing your entire primary, taking it on and off, I think I got it done in about 20 minutes 25 minutes. I got to a point where I was really good at it. And I couldn't figure it out, because the leak kept coming. Like, It basically, yeah, because normally, like, if it's a main shaft, it'll be on the left side of the sprocket. If it's your quad seal or the fifth gear seal, it'll be on the right side of the sprocket. But it kept coming out of the left side. And I'm sitting there going, what the heck? But it's just one of those weird things that it just kept coming out the left side. So I remember the day I saw it, I had went and picked up, like, eight seals, eight main shaft seals, eight primary gaskets. I mean, you name it, eight of everything that goes on your bike. And I'm sitting there, and I'm just one after the other going, what the hell am I doing wrong?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I even tried putting stuff on from the other side, like leaning over. I'm, you know, just trying to get some sort of feng shui going,
mm-hmm.
and couldn't figure it out. And I'm sitting there staring at it, just contemplating life. And my
everything
wrong that I have done, you know, I'm thinking about posts that, you know, share this little girl,
shit in the garage.
Or, well, you know, those Facebook posts, share this little girl or 7 years of bad luck. I'm thinking, man, it's finally caught up to me,
because
I couldn't figure it out. And I'm sitting there staring at it, and I'm kind of like zoning out. You know, I was hungry. I was probably thinking about food too. Like, I'm sitting there zoning out, staring at it, staring at your shaft. And finally, like,
I forgot to tell you, I got these little soundboards so I could do things like that. It goes, yeah. You can hear it on the actual podcast.
Oh, man, I was not ready for that.
Yeah, it kind of threw you off. So anyway, you're staring at my shaft.
I'm staring at your shaft. And
well, I have to get a stereo system so you guys can hear it, but you have to have this whole setup. So me, yeah, because if you guys hear in the background, that's my wife, and Dalton's being very, very nice and quiet. But me and Jeremy have headphones on and talking into the mic, so we're really the only ones that can hear it for those listening. Man.
Anyways, staring at your shaft, but and I remember kind of like refocusing back on it, and I see I'm literally staring at the fifth gear seal, and I see the lip is pushed in on one corner, and literally, you know, I had an epiphany and, you know, outer body experience.
So one lip was bigger than the other.
One lip was bigger than the other.
It kind of reminds me of that part in Ace Ventura, you know, when he was sitting there and he's like, oh, yeah. And then he goes to the monk and then asks him a question and he comes back enlightened. Is that what happened?
Yeah, pretty much. Okay, pretty much.
Just trying to vision it.
And I remember jumping on my bike and hauling absolute ass to Arrowhead Harley to go get the seal. And and I came back and put it back on, put everything back together, record time. And I remember, you know, hauling it down the highway because it got to a point to where on my normal test drive route, there was always a point that I would pull over and I would put your kickstand down and I could see if it was leaking or not. And I put the kickstand down and I didn't see anything on it. So I took it for an even longer ride, put the kickstand down, didn't see anything on it, brought it home, you know, laid it on the kickstand, looked underneath it, and it was still dry. And I remember shaking, texting you, you know, come get this fucking bike.
It doesn't happen again, motherfucker.
I remember, like, for like the first week or two after I finished that, I remember every time I saw you, hey, how's the bike? Any leak? No, nothing? Yeah. Cool.
I can go to bed tonight.
Yeah, I can go to bed tonight.
Just know that there has not been a single leak since I've got it back. So
I see it. It's sitting right here in the showroom. It's
perfectly fine. Yeah, no, and guys,
we don't have to tell him that we drained the fluid out.
Yeah, Jeremy's absolutely amazing. He does warranty all his shit. So, if you're here in Arizona, definitely support Fastlane MC. You know, this dude knows exactly what he's doing. He backs all his shit up, and he'll get it done.
Instagram Fastlane MC. Yeah. Name of the shop, Fastlane Speed Shop.
I'm gonna tag the shit out of you after this too, dude. So, yeah. Moving on. So you just got married.
Yep. Yes, we did back in October. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. How was that?
Good, good. You know, happy to get that over with.
Yeah, I kind of feel bad I didn't get to make it because we had another, Lindsay, your friends were getting married, which we already planned out for like months in advance, and then Jeremy tells me he's getting married, and I'm like, damn, I'm closer to Jeremy, but I already, you know, I guess we already made these plans and bought the tickets, so let's go to this other one, which, you know, looking back on it, it would have been a lot more fun to go to your wedding, but
yeah, it was a lot of fun. You know, got cool to see some you know, friends that we had put out invitations to that, you know, I hadn't seen her in years, and you know, it was nice meeting, you know, some of her extended family and all that. So it was a really good time.
Yeah, when we had our wedding, Lindsay, there was a lot of people there. I had no fucking clue who they were.
My whole family.
I know exactly. It was all your family.
I think ours was the majority of, like, my side.
Yeah. I think most of the people that were there, I remember telling. Yeah, I know. No, your family's cool as shit. Me and your dad are, like, best friends. We talk all the time. So, yeah, your family's amazing. I didn't mean that in a bad way, but I'm just saying, like, you know, everyone that was there.
Good save.
Dude, I'm all. Thanks, man. I got to hit that. How many times can I hit that? Oh,
like,
yeah.
Okay.
I love Vince. He was our DJ there, and there was an awkward moment where, you know, Vince is, like, running around with the chicken with his head cut off as our DJ, and he did, like, an amazing job. But there came a point where I had to fill in, you know, some of the awkward silence until the next step. Like, there was nothing went according to plan, but it worked out. So I'm all on the microphone. I'm talking to everyone. I'm like, yeah, guys, telling jokes or, you know, kind of, and no one's laughing. All I hear crickets is this. I do have a cricket on the soundboard. So, all right. Okay, crickets, go away. Damn, it plays on for 10 seconds. That's crazy. Anyway, so I heard her crickets, and then the food comes, and our friend Trey, which I was talking to earlier today, yeah, he played one of Lindsay's favorite songs, and he's an amazing artist. So he plays a lot of country rock.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, he's an awesome dude. And he's on tour right now. He's killing it out in Georgia. So anyway, let's talk about Jeremy again.
Back to me.
Yeah. So we're going to be out at the Builders Showcase, and I absolutely messed it up. I was talking to Taylor Bradshaw at the Hideaway, and I tagged him, and I said it was the biker build-off.
You know, I did see that. I did
see that. I should have taken the 30 seconds to confirm what it was, and I'm like, you know, you see all these events out there, and it's always biker build-off this, biker. So I tagged him, and then he comments back in the next day in the morning, and he's like, it's the Builder Showcase, and I was like, fuck. Sorry, dude. So yeah, the Builder Showcase, that's February 18th, 19th, and 20th.
Yep.
And we were both out. They had another event out in Cave Creek.
Biketoberfest. Yep.
Yeah, and we were there together.
Yes. At least know the name.
Yeah, I'm just going to let you name everything and while I fuck it up. But that was fun. That was a good event.
Yeah. Put us right next to each other. That was a lot of fun. Yeah. Got to, people comment on our vests. We say, hey, go over there. And people comment on the bikes and say, hey, go over there.
Yeah, because you got a custom vest through us. Ricky did too. Mm-hmm. What's Ricky up to? Is he...
He's I don't know. That's what I was doing earlier. That's why I was so late. Is I was actually working on his bike. He pushes that thing to its absolute limits.
Yeah, dude. His fucking bike is badass.
Yeah.
So and then his lady came in a few weeks ago after we opened the shop, with her kiddo, and I didn't want it to be all awkward, you know, because you get a lot of people that come in the shop. I don't know if he's told you this or she's told you this, but she walked in the shop and I didn't want to be like, hey, are you, Ricky's lady? It just came out of me after, like, 2 minutes of just her looking at the gloves and picked up a pair. And I was like, you're Ricky's lady. And she's like, yeah, that's me. And I was like, I feel like a complete idiot because I'm like, I should have said that in the beginning. But anyway. Yeah,
that would have been a fun phone call.
Yeah, he forgot me. The guy's a fucking dick. anyway. Huh? Yeah, I mean, I got to invest in all this podcast shit, so eventually I'm going to have 4 mics. All I have are 2 right now. That would be nice to have you on, though. We'll get you on a podcast.
Yeah, we'll get her and my wife on.
Yeah, ooh, that'd be fun.
Oh, man. leave them both a bottle of wine each and just leave the building.
Oh, my God, yeah. Okay, we'll get the first half, you guys get the second half. Yeah, we'll get you guys wine and then we'll get the beers.
Yep.
Cool with that? Yeah. I mean, I'm cool with the Coors Light.
Halftime will change genders. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, put some wigs on and just change our voices. Oh, boy.
I think he should record it. What do you think?
What?
He should be recording this process.
We are.
No, I mean with a video camera.
Oh, yeah, well, like for YouTube?
Yeah, YouTube Live.
Yeah, well, I got the camera, and I was thinking about getting it all set up, but we should start doing that, yeah.
My makeup's not done today, so please don't.
Dude, starting a YouTube channel is absolutely insane. It's hard.
Oh, yeah.
Because everything is so saturated out there. You know, you post, you type in one thing, and there's 5,000 videos on it, so it's hard to even reach anyone.
I got a couple videos on there from my younger years, and I'm not proud of it.
You're like, they're still up.
Yeah, they're still up.
I can't find my password to log in and delete it.
Every once in a while, I'll type in the names of them. I'm not gonna say.
Ooh, what kind of video?
I'll type in the.
I don't know, man. Some of these don't have names, so I'll just push one, and then we'll find out what it is.
I want to push a button.
Here, go ahead and push one.
Let me push this one.
That's the intro one.
Oh, all right, let's do this one.
That's the outro one. That's the interlude.
What's the purple one?
Here, push the green one all the way down to these 4.
Whoa. No.
Good Lord. All right, that's the last time my wife touches this soundboard. Smack those hands.
It.
No, well, touch one.
You said touch this all the way down.
Here, touch the green one.
What is it?
It's a trombone. It goes wah, wah, wah. Oh, yeah. Anyway, all right, so no more of that. Okay, let's get back into business. Jesus. That one wasn't me. Okay. So what are the things we have to talk about? How do you feel about the new Harleys that came out? What do you think?
Well, there's that, what is it, the Lowrider ST or something like that that just came out?
Lowrider FXLRS-T-L-O-N-O-P.
Yeah,
it's one of those, yeah.
I know that that one came out. I mean,
Yeah, that's kind of what this one is based off of. But
I'm not sure how I feel about it.
Yeah, all I heard was everything for like 3 days straight. I'm probably still talking about it. Was the saddlebags not being perfectly lined up? And I'm like, really, guys? You're just talking about the saddlebags. Yeah, well, and the front fairing is it's a little different. You know, I like that they're actually approaching and listening to people finally instead of going that other route in the last couple of years.
Well, you know, with the last few years, you know, you see how the industry's gone. You know, everything went from, it went choppers were the craze and then the pro streets were the craze. You know, Yaffe, what are all the other, I'm drawing a huge blank right now. Yaffe, Barnett, bunch of, Big Dog, you know, they all had those pro streets going out. And, you know, that was like mid-2000s. And then it started, you know, people started getting the baggers. And then it started going to the big wheel bagger. Mm-hmm. And then now everything's kind of moving from the big wheel bagger to the performance side. You know, you got Bagger Racing League coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Been out. But you got all that. So you kind of see how, like, the industry is going. So it's in a sense, it's kind of nice to see Harley kind of...
pushing in that direction.
Yeah, pushing towards that direction. You know, it's still... You know, that some stuff on the M8 is, on a mechanic standpoint, I would like to fist fight the engineers. Yeah. And if they win, then they get their way.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, you're like, this is a battle to the death to decide what's going to happen with this.
Yeah, I mean, on most M8s, dude, the vacuum system on there, I feel like I'm working on an 82 Honda.
Yeah. She's talking about the Pan America. What do you think about the Pan?
Oh, dude, I love the Pan America.
Yeah. I haven't test ridden one, but it looks pretty cool.
I got to ride a friend of mine, Brandon, over down there over at Ramjet.
Yeah.
He got one, and he let me test ride it.
I do see it parked out there every once in a while.
Yeah. He let me, you know, I just went down the road and came back, you know, didn't do anything crazy on it just because he was still in the break-in period on it, and I didn't want to break it.
Yeah.
But I was looking at that, and, you know, he let me ride it, and... Dude, it's a real deal, man.
Really?
It's got a power band.
What size motor is in it?
Oh God, like a.
Is it a 107 or 114?
No, it neither one of those. It's.
It's got its own.
Yeah, it's a CC series. I want to say, you know, don't, whoever's listening, don't make fun of me, but I want to say it's like a 14 or 15 CC.
Okay.
I haven't done
too much research on them, so I don't know.
But dude, it was like, you know, riding it plus the you can change the suspension and power settings on the fly.
Really?
Yeah. So, you know, I kind of messed around with that a little bit. You know, I went from like what was it called? It was basically like the off-road to on-road, and, you know, kind of like was jumping on the pegs, just seeing how the shocks would react, dude. And it was
pretty
like,
instant.
Almost immediately.
Wow, that's awesome.
Like. It was,
you know, I had so many people that were talking about it and hyping it up for so long, and then when they came out, I've probably literally only seen maybe three on the road.
That's because they've been so backordered.
Well, that, and
BMW
I was...
BMW makes a great all-terrain.
Yeah. Well, BMW's been freaking around forever, but, I mean, this was, I think, Harley's first attempt, at least in modern days, to try to do something a little bit different. I think it looks badass. I think it looks really good.
I mean, personally, I feel like the only reason why they did it is because, you know... Harley's like the, what is it, those street 750s?
Yeah.
Those, the Pan America and the Livewire, dude, they're huge in Europe.
Are they?
Absolutely huge.
Yeah, I remember everyone was losing their shit over the Livewire. Oh, the electric.
I almost, like, I was considering buying the Livewire just to change it up, you know, because I had I'm building that rigid chopper. I've been building that for a while. I got that. You know, I had my blue bagger. I had that, dude.
You still have it?
No, I sold my blue bagger.
Oh, you did?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I sold that a couple weeks ago. New owner. you know, a bunch of friends, he'll go up to Hideaway all the time, and everybody sends me pictures. You know, who's that on your bike? Like, you know, stop sending me photos. I don't want to see it. It
still says Fastlane on the side, though, right?
Yep. It still says it. You know, the new owner, he was saying, like, hey, you know, can I keep it on there? I'm like, dude, first off, it's your bike.
It's more advertising.
Yeah,
why not?
Yeah, and so I was like, absolutely.
That's why I drive the Rat Rod around. It's got Rail Reaper all over it.
Exactly,
dude.
Yep.
Yeah, so branding. That's cool.
Yep. But like, you know, I was just kind of considering getting, like, the Livewire just to be different.
I've seen one in person. It actually looks really rad. But I don't know if I can, for one, spend that kind of coin on something like that and be happy long term. Because, I mean, the whole reason why people usually get into Harleys, which I went from the sport bike, hot rods and tuner world, and then into sport bikes. And then I fell in love with the Harleys. But my biggest thing with that is it would be just completely silent. And I like that thumping, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So. Well, ultimately, what killed it for me is, you know, I went and actually test rode one, and
did it feel like a sport bike or?
It was different, dude. I am so uncomfortable. I cannot ride crotch rockets. I feel weird. I know I look weird. Like I just everything about it. The Livewire.
I'm 6'1", dude. On a sport bike, it just looks really weird.
So I went and test rode one. Went over to Arrowhead. They let me whip it around, and I went and test rode it. And, you know, it was fun, and, you know, like I said, it was something that, you know, I would have to, you know, kind of change because, you know, like, I'm just now getting comfortable with mid controls, man. I've always been forward controls, you know, all that. But what killed it for me was only a 150-mile charge.
Mm.
And I went, nope.
Yeah, I mean, you know? Most people, like, that do a lot of hardcore riding, that would suck to charge it every 150 miles. Like
and build a trailer with a generator just to keep going.
Yeah. I mean, that would be pretty interesting to see something like that when, you know, people build something and make it something completely different.
Yeah.
A solar powered?
Solar powered?
Yeah. Harley, are you listening?
Yeah.
Probably not.
You can plug in a solar panel.
Yeah.
That idea is patented by.
Yeah, right. Number 56892. It's got him again, dude. Got him again. Had to take a sip. I'm drinking coffee and beer and water.
Cheers.
Perfect combo. Cheers. Yeah, let's do a cheers, guys. Cheers. This podcast is going great. Hope you guys are getting a lot of interesting perspective on things with this.
Sorry for interrupting.
Sorry if I embarrass myself.
If you hear my wife in the background talking here and there, that's, it's okay.
Shut up, Dalton.
It's okay. Yeah, Dalton, jeez. Be quiet.
He doesn't want to upset.
He's like, oh, my God, what am I doing here? These guys are crazy.
Hanging out, having a good time.
Good, good, good. Glad you're having a good time.
I mean, at one point, shafts and lips and...
Yeah, well, yeah, it's just... And it's
lube.
Guy talk, yeah.
Lube.
You just,
lube.
Epiphany.
Yeah, this podcast is so deep. All right, let's get into a yoga pose, guys. Yeah. Start getting interchanneled.
So did you feel like you were in Downward Dog when you were...
I'll tell you something. When that thing was having the leak, I felt like it was in Downward Dog.
Right? Yeah, I know, right? You're like, damn, I'm getting pulled over. Yeah. Left and right.
Cool. How's the new one? How's
the
Lowrider
S? It's good. I mean, all the tins are gone right now, being in paint. But other than that,
play with them, yeah, and
I know.
Them and it, never rides them until they're fixed.
And I told her this too when I first got it. I was texting you today about it earlier. Mm-hmm. So when I first got it, I absolutely loved it. The 114 actually made me fall in love with bikes again, you know, because honestly, I was getting a little bored.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, I'll just give it a shot. So I test rode the Street Bob and what was that? The Fat Bob. And I was really intended to get the Fat Bob because I like the stance of it and it looks aggressive. But after riding it, it wasn't me. So then I rode the Lowrider S and absolutely fell in love with that. I ended up picking up Arrowhead Harley. They were really good down there for me. And just nothing that I regretted. Of all the bikes that I've ever got, I've never regretted that one. And I remember texting you earlier today because we're trying to do an S&S, you know, 475 cams and the quickie push rods and little tappets and everything. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, and Jeremy, how often do I text you? And I'm like, dude, you're probably like, motherfucker, I should charge you. I should charge you for texting me. So I'm texting Jeremy this morning and I'm like, hey man, what do you think? Should I have to get the fuel pump or do you think it's good enough? Or should I get the whole entire kit? And I'm buying it piece by piece, which sucks because it's like, I could have got the whole
thing. You could have gotten the whole thing.
And you're like, yeah, it's probably best to just do it all and get it all done out of the way. From what I've done my research now is any M8s prior to 2020, at least for the Lowrider S, they were having a lot of issues with the breathing of the oil for the bikes, which caused a lot of issues. But the 2020 didn't really have any issues. So that's why I was texting you, you know, should I still do it? And you're right, you know, to be bulletproof and make sure there's no issues.
Yeah.
I might as well just do the whole entire freaking kit.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to upgrade cams, I mean, you might as well, you know, spend a little bit more, get the cam plate, you know, do it all right, you know.
Because it's going to cost more for you, someone like you, to go in there, just install some cams, take it all apart.
I mean, it doesn't cost me. It costs you, though.
Yeah, that's what
it doesn't cost me anything.
But
man, then, I'm a bad businessman.
Yeah, right. You're like, no, do it one by one.
Yeah, one by one. I'll go in there about 20 times, and we'll get it done by the end of it.
Yeah, so that's kind of what I'm learning right now, is to just kind of do it all at once, get it all done, and just go that route. So yeah. I think that's what I'm going to do. So I'm pretty excited about it. I just threw on some Pelican bags. There was a company named Elite Touring that makes the kit that you can just throw on there.
Ammo can looking bags, right?
Yeah. And then you can throw Pelicans on the side. So, but I definitely plan on doing a lot more riding this year. So when that's done, I'm excited to get it done. So it's going to be going over to you. But I found out, remember we were texting earlier today, that the Harley warranty.
Yeah.
God, dude. Yeah, I was voided the second I threw on the pipe.
Yeah.
So it's whatever. I don't give a fuck. If anything happened to it anyway. That's exactly what we're talking about. The motor's going to be done.
He can't touch it,
no, but it's
Jeremy, only you can touch it.
Yeah, I don't mess with motor work. I just bring it to Fastlane MC, which you can check them out at fastlanemc.com. Right? Is that where you guys are?
The website's fastlanemc.
Cool. Yep. But yeah, I don't do any engine work. I just bring it over to Jeremy. So Well, my wife's talking shit, so it's the last time she's going to be on this podcast, guys. So anyway,
better be.
Yeah. So what other big plans do you have for Fastlane?
Well,
what's coming up?
Right now we're just taking it honestly as it goes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've had a couple mishaps in the past, you know, that you know about. Mm-hmm. Had some issues, you know, we're just, you know, a daily business life.
Yeah.
You know, you got to keep going with it, and you know, we're just trucking along, still busy as ever.
Good.
You know, and it's, I feel bad because, you know, with the event that's coming up, you know, I'm so focused on getting that one bike done, because we're actually, you know, I don't know if I should throw this out there, but we're actually behind schedule on it, which doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And,
well, I mean, there's not much you can do when it's in paint, you know, and stuff that's out of your control. So.
Yeah, you know, thankfully the customer for that big wheel, he's, you know, he's really cool, really understanding. You know, we've been friends for, I think going on 3-4 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he understands and he knows it, and you know, it's one of those things, you know, the closer we get to the event, it's just, you know, the nerves are starting to set in, and you know,
you think you'll get it done in time?
I'm hoping, you know, knock on wood, you know, I'm hoping everything's set to be, you know, there's probably going to be a couple long nights coming up, which, you know, nothing I'm not used to, but
yeah, because you still have your day job too, and you're doing this, so like you're probably, I mean, you've told me multiple times that you have late nights,
yep,
just to finish bikes and get them out in time for people. So
yeah,
but you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, usually on average, whenever there's an event coming up, you know, whether it's you know, Biketoberfest, the Builder Showcase, Bike Week, Las Vegas Bike Fest, we go to that. Pretty much, if there's ever an event that we're going to, it's usually the week or two before it, I'm pulling about 22-23 hour days with the day job. Oh yeah
I bet. But I mean, that's what's gonna pay off long term.
Yeah. And so, you know, and that's the other cool part too, this year for the Builder Showcase, we because we've actually been to that event, this will be our third year. Mm-hmm. And all the years prior, we've always been at the Roadhouse. Mm-hmm. You know, we were, you know, getting the name out there, still kind of a new company, and, you know, getting the reputation out there and all that. And this year I actually got a call from Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
And after, you know, kind of talking to him, you know, he's like, hey, you know, you guys are going to be coming up this year? We're like, yeah, you know us, we'll be there. And he goes, cool, we're going to put you at the Hideaway. And I'm sitting there going, wait, run that by me one more time? Mm-hmm. You know, because that's, you know, maybe I'm reading into it a little bit too much, but being, you know, a small business owner, like, you know, I look at, you know, I look at Fastlane, you know, I'm a nobody, mm-hmm. you know, and I...
It's good that you're humble about that.
Yeah.
Even though you're amazing at what you do.
And I appreciate that. You know, I look at people like, you know, Sideshow or Shope or Yaffe and, you know, mm-hmm. all that. And it's, you know, they made a name for themselves.
Trask and huge. All those guys.
Nick Trask. Yeah. Lupe. Right. Even, you know, these guys.
Dude, I saw those bikes back in October when we did that event.
Yeah.
I was blown away.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was insane.
And that type of quality work and that level, dude, it's huge, mm-hmm. you know, and then
it's a huge compliment too.
So. Yeah. And so for us, when, you know, talking with Taylor for him and Mark, you know, inviting us to actually put a bike in the show, I'm sitting there like, you know, kind of freaking out, you know, they're asking me like, hey, you know, you got a bike to put in? And I'm looking at this big wheel in a million pieces going, yeah, you know, wait, when is it? Next month? Yeah, sure. Yeah, we got one.
We can crunch time.
So it's definitely, I feel like it makes me think that, you know, I'm going in the right direction. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm doing the right things. You know, there's moments where, you know, I've talked to you about a couple of things,
oh,
and
yeah,
some
we've
pointers,
had talks.
You know, business pointers and all that. And, you know, so like to me, it may not be a big deal to any of the big names or, you know, to anybody else, but to me, for as a builder, to actually be able to put a bike in that show, you know, a local show, that's huge for me. Cause there's, you know, there's here in Phoenix, dude, there's motorcycle shop. There's as many shops here as there is, you know, McDonald's or Starbucks,
mm-hmm.
you know, and for us to be invited to put a bike in there, dude, I'm like absolutely blown away about it.
I was surprised when Taylor called me and we were FaceTiming and he pretty much did the same. He's like, hey, do you guys want to come out? And I've always wanted to go to that event, but you know, back in the early days of Rebel Reaper, when we basically were nothing, you know, no one knew who we were. And I was just like, I didn't want to be like, hey man, can I come to this event? And I know what it's like, you know, to be invited to that kind of event is huge. So when he called me and said, hey, do you want to be out there? First thing I said is, dude, thank you. And then second off, I don't want to be interpreted like I'm some kind of builder at all, any way, shape or form, because I am not. I sell apparel. Okay. So
I think you're literally smack dab in the middle of all the builders.
Yeah. Too. And I was like, and then we were talking about it and he's showing me the map of like how they're going to have the placement of everyone. And I was like, dude, as long as I'm next to Jeremy at Fastlane, I'm fucking cool with that.
Yeah.
You know, Ramjet's going to be out there and quite a few others. But when he said, dude, you're going to be smack dab in the middle, I was like,
yeah.
I took a big gulp and I was like, well, all right then, bud, let's do that. But you know, I just set that expectation for people out there. It's like, you know, any of the credit for any of the bikes that I do or done, I'm just like, those guys over there,
yeah,
go over there. They're the ones that did it. So yeah, it's going to be cool to kind of go to that event. This is our first year.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see how that turns out. And then Arizona Bike Week.
Yep.
Not Arizona Bike Week. I'm sorry. Cave Creek Bike Week. They're completely two different.
Yep. Yeah. Two different events. Mm-hmm. One, you know, two different locations, Cave Creek Bike Week. And then you got AZ Bike Week, which starts, I believe, on the Wednesday.
Okay.
So I believe that one's like the 6th or 7th to the 10th.
Yeah.
And Cave Creek Bike Week is literally like the 1st through the 10th. So,
yeah. So that's going to be interesting.
Yep.
I don't know if I'm going to get much sleep.
Yeah.
But hopefully I can get someone that can actually watch the shop, maybe,
yeah.
you know, like while I'm out there. Or, you know, I have a good friend of mine, Alex. I don't know if you ever met him. He's a military, shorter guy, super cool. And he's been around for a while, but he's going to help me out there for Builder Showcase and maybe a couple days. Maybe I can get a couple other people to help me out because I don't know. We'll see how it goes. Every fucking day is just like, you know, I'm sure you can relate. It's not planned out, you know.
Yeah.
Things just happen. So I've just kind
something
of learned
changes
to accept that.
And you're just like, all right.
Welcome to the life of being an entrepreneur. Yeah.
And that's, you know, my friend Dalton here, you know, a lot of it, you know, with you know, friends and family, Dalton included, like, dude, it's, you know, you, at moments like these, you got to kind of lean on them a little bit. And thankfully with Dalton, you know, he'll be able to help me out. And, You know, even my mom was saying, like, I'll go. Like, I got to print out a pamphlet. Be like, all right, this, you know, somebody asks you this question, you answer it with this.
You got to get it all planned out and mapped out. But it's definitely good to have a surrounding around of people that actually support what you do. Because it's not always sunshine and rainbows. So when you have someone and a good team and people around you, a lovely, beautiful wife that supports you. And it definitely helps. So, I know shit. God damn. You don't fucking have to tell a whole life story on this podcast.
Yeah, I got
to
give a shout out to my wife. She deals with the temper tantrums when I can't figure out a fabrication.
Don't start temper tantrums, man. Yeah, there she goes.
You're a dick.
Just a quarter of the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, I mean, it is tough, dude. It's difficult. Like, you got to have people that know, like, you set your vision, and they believe in you, you believe in them, and they support you. Like, that's fucking huge. And if you don't have that, it's really difficult to do anything that you want to do.
Yeah,
I know we're, you know, you and I have had this conversation. I know we're in completely two separate worlds, you know, as far as apparel and, you know, building custom badass bikes. But I feel like the principles are kind of similar in depending on what it is. Oh, damn. He's already got you on a backup beer. What a homie.
A man.
Yeah, Dalton just handed Jeremy a backup beer because he's almost done.
I need a bill. Bartender.
Bartender. Wench. I'll get a gavel so you can smash the table. And another beer, wench.
Hector.
No, I know. You can't say that. I know. All right. Let's get back to topic. Back to topic. Yeah, so it's been you've been out to several of our car and bike shows. I mean, I wouldn't consider them like trophy car and bike shows. It's just kind of bringing people together and have fun.
Besides the last one.
What did I give trophies out that one?
No, not the last one at your old shop.
Oh, okay.
The last one at your old shop. My buddy Dalton over here.
What happened? What'd you guys do?
He put about, there was maybe like 60-70 people there, and he filled out like 100 tickets with my number.
I knew it. But you did win the trophy.
I did win the trophy, and I got a sitting at the shop.
I remember
I was going through it with Nico. I was like, this looks like the same handwriting.
You motherfuckers, you got caught. Oh man, the reputation is over for the car and bike show trophies. It's rigged.
One entry, you get one ticket per person. Now.
You got to hand out each.
Oh, man.
Tickets.
Line up, single file. Everybody gets one piece of paper.
Well,
I
tried doing
ticket, the,
I tried doing the trophy thing, but I've come to realize, like, the whole point of that entire thing is to just bring people together and have fun.
Yeah,
you know, it wasn't really about trophies or trying to show off, but there was some really cool badass bikes that came out. It was great to meet new people and network and, you know, built a lot of good, solid clientele for that. But when Dean Speed Customs, he made us those trophies.
He's absolutely awesome trophies.
Yeah, and if you guys are not familiar out here in Arizona, Dean Speed Customs, he built me a custom pipe on one of my choppers, and it was absolutely insane.
He sent us quite a few customers, actually, to get bars done.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
because he makes all his parts. He's coming out with, like, foot pegs now, and, dude, he's, like, starting to make his own parts now.
Moving into a bigger shop, too.
Yeah, they just moved in. Yep. I was talking to him about a few weeks ago, and that's super exciting. So, yeah, there's a lot of, actually, surprisingly, in Arizona, there's a lot of really cool people in the community.
Oh, yeah.
Which is great.
Our old shop location, the guy, like, four suites down from us, he built... What was the name of that shop? The Diesel Unlimited. He built all the turbo kits and a lot of the bulletproofing kits for Diesel Unlimited.
Oh, wow!
And that was their guy. And I was like, holy crap! You know, hey, how's it going? I got a diesel. Yeah. You know,
I need a big turbo.
But that, you know, like, just, you know, a lot of these shops here, like especially fabrication shops, dude. Like, there's some
really, you know, talented people out there.
Bad mofos with the welder, man. Amazing.
I think Arizona's a little underrated as far as how much talent's out here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and we need to put Arizona on the map, man.
I mean, shoot, you know, I'll give a shout out to my buddy Brandon. He built the custom exhaust for my Rigid. I feel really bad because I'm gonna send this podcast to him and he's gonna laugh at me because I'm totally forgetting the name of his fabrication company. But he built the custom exhaust on my chopper, and the amount of skill that he has, you know, I'll have people come in with, you know, a cracked weld on their fuel tank, or, you know, just random small things, and, you know, I'll hit him up and, you know, send the parts out to him, and they come back, and I'm like, is this even fixed? Mm-hmm. You know, because he'll repaint them, he'll do all that.
It looks brand new.
Yeah, and it looks brand new, and I'm like, did you do anything? He's like, well, yeah.
Well, that's when you know you're so good at what you do. You're like, holy smokes, I can't even tell the difference. Yeah. So, but yeah, there's a lot of talent out here for sure. Dude, I had a good question I was just about to ask you. I completely forgot what it was.
What's that?
Oh, yeah, that's what I was going to say. Have you attempted trying to weld ever?
Myself?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. I dabble in the fabrication world.
Yeah, I mean, it's not easy stuff.
No, absolutely not.
That's one talent I wish I always had time. I'm pretty sure I can learn if I had the time to do it.
Yeah.
Or the patience.
I mean, there are some things, you know, I'll have customers come in and be like, hey, can you build me this? Can you build me that? You know, all that. Like, you know, there are some things where I'm like, yeah, you know, I can do that. Like, you know, the fabrication for the fuel tank mount
on your
Sportster. You know, yeah. I was able to do that. You know, there are some things that I'm able to do, and then there are some things where I'm like, haha, I'm gonna find somebody else.
I'm gonna outsource that because I know how much of a headache this is.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
You know, and plus, you know, having the correct equipment and stuff like that, you know, but there's, you know, I'm not too bad with it. I'm actually, I've got a bunch of wrenches, you know, spare wrenches, being a mechanic for, going on maybe 14 years now.
Oh, dude, you got tools for days.
Yeah, I got tools for days. You know, I've got tools that, out of the first tool set I ever got, I was, I think, like 12, 13 years old. And I got it from my grandma, and they were these Craftsman speed wrenches. And I love you, Grandma, but they were pieces of shit. but I still got them, and I still use them today.
Dude, you know how many times I've thought before,
you know,
I've learned. Yeah, and investing in tools, like quality tools, is a huge deal, especially in your profession.
Yeah.
Because those Chinese freaking knockoff tools that you get for $20 on Amazon, like, they'll only last for maybe about a... Because I've experienced this, Lindsay. I've experienced this in person when I went to go wrench something and the freaking... The socket just snaps in half. And you're like, damn, I'm so close to finishing. Can you not snap?
It's not always the best way.
So I learned my lesson, and you went out and bought me a bunch of DeWalt tools and really nice quality stuff.
Even though I like Milwaukee.
Never had issues with that before. Yeah. But how important is it to keep your relationships, especially in this industry? You know, when you know that you can't do something, you outsource it to someone else.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that comes back tenfold for you, too, because I'm pretty sure there's a lot of things that other people can't do.
Yeah.
So when they say, I can't do this, you got to see this guy. I think that's, you know, I guess in the motorcycle community, a lot of people maybe have the egos of, like, you know, I can do everything myself. But there comes a point in time where you got to say, you know what, there's someone that's better at this than me, and I got to bring it over to them. And I think it's really huge because, you know, as big as the industry is, I've come to realize that
it's really not that big.
Small world.
Yep. I mean, dude, I've had moments where, you know, I've had customers come in or, you know, call me on the phone and, you know, hey, can you do this or do that? And, you know, back in the day, there was, you know, moments where, you know, I'm not going to name any names, but there's been other shops where I'd be like, you know what, call this person, name drop me, you know, name drop the shop, they'll take care of you, you know, they're experts at their crafts, like, mm-hmm. They know this, they know that, and, you know, and sometimes, you know, it's a bummer, because, you know, bridges get burned, you know, I tend to try to think that, you know, I try to do everybody right, and, you know, I don't like burning bridges, but there are sometimes some people that they burned them themselves, and, you know, that it is what it is, but, you know, I've still had, you know, I had an issue with one shop, you know, again, I'm not going to
drop any names.
Yeah, I'm not going to drop any names, but I had an issue with one shop a few years ago, and, you know, I've had people come in and be like, hey, can you do this? And I want so bad to be like, you know what, go see this guy. But it's like, you know what, like they want to have that type of attitude towards me when I've sent them plenty of other people and, you know, all that, and tried to be friendly and all that. And it's just like, you know what? Sorry, man. You know, I don't.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody.
Well, that, I think that's the best approach to do it, is just kind of be the bigger man and just do the best you can whenever you can. And honestly, your customers, though, they pick up on that real quick. Because one thing I've learned, at least in this industry, is that word of mouth travels fast.
Yeah, very fast.
Very fast. Very you know, make some mistakes. And, yeah, everyone does make mistakes. But when you make those repetitive mistakes and then they hear about this through someone else, like, the next thing you know, when you hear, you know, one thing I've learned is that when one person says something, there's usually 10 ears that hear it.
Yep.
And when those 10 ears speak again, there's 100 ears that hear it. And then word of mouth, the next thing you know, you're out of business. So you just got to do the best you can, man. So
that was one issue we had starting out. Fastlane itself has actually been a business here in Phoenix since early 2018.
Mm-hmm.
Me and my wife actually took over the ownership of it. In I think that was late 2018. It was right before Vegas Bike Fest. Mm-hmm. Was when we took it over. And my previous business partner, which, if you know me or the shop, you know who it was, I'm not gonna say it out there, but he had, in lack of a better term, fucked us hard with a lot of customers and a lot of people.
Yeah.
And, you know, starting out, you know, basically when he kind of became not in the picture, like, at all, I had to deal with a lot of customers, you know, putting complaints out, you know, on the Facebook, on Yelp, and all that. And I'm like,
had nothing to do with
you. Yeah, and it had nothing to do with us. And, you know, the most that we could do is, you know, at first we would just put a comment out there saying, you know, hey, we're under new ownership. Mm-hmm. You know, please don't let the name have a bad taste in your mouth, bring it back, let us check it out. And I mean, dude, I did probably at least in all together, probably about 80 hours worth of warranty work.
Wow.
And that was out of my pocket as a new company, and we were nothing.
Yeah.
You know, that was coming straight out of my pocket. I don't even think we had a business account yet.
Wow.
So trying to fix all that and, you know, fix the name and
build your reputation all over again. Yeah,
had to fix it all over again. And, you know, we had a couple customers where I helped them out. And, we had one guy, I pretty much warrantied every bit of his bars. Mm-hmm. I paid for his bars, all the wiring, you know, ran all that and everything. And it was perfect. Absolutely perfect. Bike leaves, never heard from him, all that. I see him out there. And he kept bitching about what the previous guy did.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hey, man, like, you know,
do you see me? I am not the same guy.
Yeah. You know, so it's one of those things, you know, it's just something that we had to deal with. And, you know, thankfully now, you know, we're in the spot that we are now. So I feel like we've gotten out of that funk, you know.
Yeah. Well, I'm pretty sure you did.
Yeah.
So you definitely take a lot of quality in what you do these days, for sure. Dang.
What?
Where'd those wallflowers go?
The wallflowers?
Yeah. Lindsay, I'm on a podcast. I know, it's
fine. Oh, boy. Can we talk about this off the podcast? Yes.
It makes your shots in the
eyes. We're sitting at 58 minutes. I'm pretty sure, like, six of it was you.
Yeah. How much more time you got, dude? You want to wrap it up, or you...
You want pizza?
You want to wrap it up? What are you thinking?
I mean,
you want to do another 10-15?
Yeah, we can Let's do that. That.
Okay, cool. All right.
It's not like I got bikes to build or something. Whatever.
Yeah. You're like, no, you're taking me on my time. No, I had to pay Jeremy $5,000 to be on this episode right now. So
I had to bill him. I had to bill him a cam job on his lowrider to be here.
Yeah, no kidding. I'm excited to see that happen, dude.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah,
me too.
A lot of the research I've done, a lot of people just threw in the cams, and that's why I kept asking you. I was like, what do you think? And, you know, I'm definitely going to take your advice rather than some guy on YouTube that just did some cams.
I mean, you know, I may be a hypocrite.
Hypocrite?
Hypocrite, and I'm not afraid to admit it. But when it comes to a customer or a customer's bike, you know, I'm going to give you what I personally feel is the best route to go or the best thing to do. And it's, you know, when you start dealing with cam, you know, anything, as soon as that motor cracks open, when you start dealing with that, you know, don't
game changes.
Yeah, it's don't go cheap. Don't go, you know, don't half-ass it. Don't, you know, just save up. Buy everything that you need at once. You know, like if you're doing a cam job or, you know, a full motor, you know, make sure you get all the pieces. And most importantly, you know, get the tuner, get, mm-hmm. you know, all that. And I say I'm a hypocrite because I rode in on my bike. You know, we did cams and exhausts on that. And I'm still waiting on my tuner. So
right, yeah.
It may not be running the, you know, the greatest, but, you know, that, but that's my bike. You know, I can fix mine.
What's your best recommendation for what kind of tuner that's out there for the people listening? If they were to do like an at-home tune, I know probably Thunder is probably the best way to
go. So I'll say it like this. I have actually turned customers away that would not get off of the Vance and Hines fuel pack. The FP3.
Really?
That is the, and I am not afraid to say it, and I really don't care what, you know, about your feelings. I personally think that the FP3 Vance and Hines tuner is the biggest waste of money out there. Mm. Now,
you're not the first person to say that.
Yeah, and I will kind of defend them a little bit, meaning that a lot of it is user error. Mm. One of the biggest things about it is that you can do an auto tune. Mm-hmm. And what most people don't realize is, you know, they'll do an auto tune and then they'll go ride their bike. Oh, you know, it doesn't feel that well. Then they do another auto tune and they go ride their bike.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
So every time you do that, you're not.
Yeah. It's not deleting anything. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there have been times, dude, I've plugged into the tuner and I'll see, what was it? It was,
So you should set it to default and then try to do another tune or like.
Well, there's different ways that you can tune the FP3.
Mm-hmm.
The most common is the auto tune.
Right.
That's probably
the seller point for it. So
yeah, that's the selling point because people would be like, oh, I can just plug this in and not have to go get a dynoed and boom, power. Like, no, that's not how this works.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but we had one. I plugged the tuner in and there were 74 auto tunes on it.
Oh.
And this bike would not run.
That's crazy.
I unplugged it. You know, basically disconnected the FP3, plugged it back into stock, bike fired up and ran beautifully.
That's crazy. You think after the fifth time, something might click in your head and say, maybe I should bring this to a pro.
Yeah.
Maybe I should bring it to someone. So you'd probably say FP3 probably least, maybe Power Vision.
What do you think? Yeah, I mean, so in a scale to me, FP3 being the very least, personally, I think Thunder Max is top of the line, mm-hmm. and then depending on the year of your bike, Dyno Vision.
Okay.
What would you
recommend for mine?
The Dyno Vision.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's more or less the Dyno Vision was built and made for an M8.
So if I was doing like a big bore kit, like completely going balls out for the entire engine, you'd probably recommend maybe a Thunder because it's a lot more work.
Yeah. If you're gonna do, you know, top end work and full, you know,
mm-hmm.
guns blazing. I do a Thunder Max, just change the whole computer, you know, remap it, get it tuned, you know, and that, but that's the good part about Thunder Max too is, you know, and you know, I'll probably get a lot of weird looks or weird comments saying this, but with the Thunder Max, you do not need a dyno.
Mm.
There have been multiple bikes that have come in and we've done a Thunder Max on. And being that what they have, when you open up the programming for Thunder Max is, you know, they've got, you know, hundreds of preloaded, pre-saved tunes.
Exactly.
You know, you just got to scroll through it, find the one that you find the intake, the cams and the exhaust that you have. 9 times out of 10, you're going to find it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that somebody will already have done that, you know, that setup, you know, like, you know, I did one, it was a 96 cubic inch. He had a Thunder header and he had 585s. Mm. I scrolled through, took me a couple minutes, but I scrolled through and I found Thunder header, 585 S&S. His was fueling, but
yeah,
it's same lope, did 585s. And then the, what did he have? I think he had a Arlen S Big Sucker, and that was on the tune. I clicked on that, and I have not seen the guy since. I've talked to him a couple times, and he's like, dude, this bike has never ran as good as it does now.
Mm.
So, And, you know, it's more or less, you know, the Thunder Max, you can plug it in if you know what you're doing. If you know what you're looking at and you know what you're doing, play with it. Yeah. Have some fun.
There was when I was doing the research on the cams, there's a lot of people talking about, you know, go gear or just go chain. From my research, though, a lot of people actually can't go gear because of, you know, how much that it really not going to be as much performance. Yeah. So what's your recommendation on cam versus gear?
So cam versus gear, at least between the cam system, it's, you know, I personally would do chain.
Yeah, that's what I got.
Yeah, I would do the chain.
Probably a little bit more reliable.
Yeah, more reliable. Now, you know, like my new Street Glide, my new bagger, I did a Timken conversion, which is basically changing on a, for anybody listening, I have an 06 Street Glide and Twin Cam 88. Now, those twin cams, the crank floats. The bearings, they just kind of float in there. They move a little bit. You know, it's nothing crazy, but they float. Mm-hmm. What the Timken does is it basically fixes it in place. It's more reliable. It's durable. You're basically bulletproofing the crank of a Harley motor. And when we did that one, I actually enlisted the help with Paul over at Iron Horse Corral. Mm-hmm. He was a huge help for us. Paul
actually came into our shop and he actually bought a custom vest. Big Paul?
Yeah, Big Paul.
Yeah.
He was the guy that our friend Mike was wanting him, and I was telling you about. We sent him over here.
Awesome.
For
you. Yeah.
Paul and Mike over at Iron Horse Corral, they were huge helps for us. I start looking into it and I'm like, oh, you know, I got the the bearings and all that, and it's like, wait, I have to buy a tool? God damn it, you know. And so they actually ended up having the tool and they helped us out with it. But so we did that, and I got my end, or they got my end plate at 0.01 of an inch, which is smaller than a hair.
Yeah.
You know, and now when you do that type of a end play, then you can go gear. Mm. Because that's the thing, those gears.
There's not much play.
Yeah, you cannot have play. Because if you have play, the teeth are going to move and chatter. You know, think of it as like a rear end of a pickup.
I did hear that usually people that go gear, you can definitely hear
exactly
the sound.
And if your end play is not within it, you're going to hear that thing squeal.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you don't want to crack it open. Now, granted, you know, the Timken, I can do 70,000 miles on the bottom of that motor without ever having to look at it again.
Is that the bike that you had when I came to your shop, and it was the one that literally had no motor?
Yeah.
Nothing in it, and it was just bare bones.
Yeah, on the backside?
Yeah, would you pick it up for like...
Yeah, $2,000.
$2,000.
$2,000.
When full, you told me that.
Full, complete 2006 Street Glide. Had everything. Full,
yeah,
everything.
It had the bars, wheels, everything.
Yeah, so that was the cool part about it, is the guy that we bought it from. And we actually bought it. I was going to flip it. You know, I was going to buy it. You know,
I remember you saying that.
Yeah, $2,000. Oh, you know, the cam bearings went out. It, you know, they replaced it, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, you know, this, you know, I'm reading it and talking to the guy. I'm like, this is, like, not a big issue at all.
Yeah.
I buy it, and I'm like, fuck, this is kind of a big issue. <You know? laughs> And so, you know, I took it down. I split the case, and... You know, just because there was a lot of metal still in it and
the little shavings.
Yeah, it's about halfway through it. I'm sitting there and I'm looking at this bike, and this was literally a one owner unmolested bike. It still had the stock bars on it. Mm-hmm. Like the only thing done to this bike was they had True Dual Reinhardts, which, you know, we ditched that and I threw the Thunder header on it. It had the True Dual Reinhardts, and the speakers were kind of upgraded. Other than those two things, the entire bike was bone stock. Mm. And I'm sitting there looking at it like, this is almost a needle in a haystack.
Yeah.
Unmolested, had like 51,000 miles on it or something like that.
Dude, you got a steal on that thing.
Yeah, so we bought it for two. Broke it down to the case, or split the case, did the Timken conversion, rebuilt it back up. Put the S&S 511s in there, S&S quickie push rod, easy adjustments.
That's why adjustments.
It sounds so good. Yeah.
I was like, dang.
And did that Thunder header. I actually just ordered my Thunder Max today. So I'm waiting for that to come in. And, I mean, dude, even with it being the way that it is, dude, it's...
She's a ripper.
She rips. We did the... I don't remember what company, but we did the T-bar conversion on it with the Kraus relocation kit and the Dirty Bird... what is it? The Dirty Bird lower main fairing kind of dash, mm-hmm. basically, so that way, you know, you can run the T-bars and still have it covered. We did that on it.
So that's now your new main bike.
Yeah.
Since you got rid of the blue one.
Yep. Nice. That's the new one. Yeah, we did one finger levers.
How do you like the one finger? I usually go Elite Mototech.
Personally, to me, I like the one fingers. It just feels a little bit better for me personally.
Yeah,
I feel a lot more control over them. You know, if I'm in a drift or, you know, the other day I was, you know, practicing wheelies on it. You know, I'm trying to pull up a bagger. You know?
Since we're on the topic of wheelies and it's on the record, have you ever pulled a wheelie on my dyno? You motherfucker! I got you. No, I don't give a shit, dude. It didn't crash.
Since I'm already thrown under the bus. You remember when I brought you back your lowrider?
Yeah. Did you pull a wheelie on that?
Awesome. But not only that.
You're okay with that. I trust you.
I was dialing in your suspension, mm-hmm. and that was the first time being on the new lowrider and all that, and it was the next day after we finished the chain drive and the suspension, and I was trying to, you know, set your preload and get it all dialed in, which was a little difficult because you weigh, you know, probably about 50 pounds more than me. So just trying to tweaking it out.
It's all the lower half of me.
Yeah, the good part. Half. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. If you heard my wife in the background, she's like, it's a lie. Son of a bitch.
But I remember dropping off the bike to you. And I'm sitting there testing it, and, you know, again, I'm on the highway. I'm doing my normal test drive route, trying to feel it out, trying to, you know, chicane it, hit corners, all that. And I remember I'm ripping down on it, and I'm getting ready to pass this car. I see this line, you know, he was getting out of the way, so I see this line, and I'm getting ready to hit it. And I twist the throttle and there was no response. Mm-mm. And I'm like, oh fuck, did I just break this thing?
Uh-oh.
And I looked down and your speedometer said 137. Ew, and I went, holy shit, I'm hitting the governor. And I have never
did you burst into flames and turn into a Knight Rider and whip your chain around on the freeway?
Dude, I went Back to the Future twice.
All wow, right. Really? That's cool.
But
to know that my bike can go that fast and pull wheelies. So
it can wheelie. It can do almost 140 miles an hour with ease. Might I add, with ease.
Yeah. So that RWD suspension of the 13.5 monoshock was worth it.
Absolutely.
Definitely helps.
Absolutely. Cool. But yeah. as far as your 07, I have put that thing at least at 10 o'clock.
Nice. Well, cool, man. She's still looking pretty. And, you know, I do have to bring it back to you to fix that front fork. It's been like that for a while. It's nothing that you did. I know.
The cover?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, it just won't get stuck down. And chances are, you know, unfortunately, with all the gold parts that are on it, when the fork oil leaks, which is not good stuff you want on your bike. Yeah. And when I'm riding it, it got on some of the translucent gold pieces and ate through it, which sucks. So.
I got to bring you back the forks. Ironically, a seal got blown out. I have no idea how.
Yeah. When I told my dad and Lindsay over here that I was painting it gold, and my dad was just like, hola way. I was like, Dad, you know, I am a quarter Mexican, though. You know, shit. I felt like gold member.
Deep down, I have always wanted to do a bike, you know, in some sort of fashion, whether paint or accents or anything like that. I've always wanted to do a white, gold, and silver scheme.
Ooh.
I cannot bring myself to do it.
So white base, gold.
Well, yeah, like white paint, gold accent, and like silver, you know.
Pinstripes
or something like that. But I cannot bring myself to do it because every time I see it, I think of Tommy from Power Rangers.
Oh, God.
So anytime I see a white and gold bike, I just, you know, go Power Rangers.
Oh, geez, man.
That's the only thing I could think of. And I want to do one so bad. I mean, it's to the point to where I'm probably just going to do a Power Rangers themed bike just to make myself feel better about it.
You should do that. You know why?
It'd be a lot cooler if you did.
What's up,
Dude, I'm stacking up all these sounds for the background. Do you remember what was that movie? Dazed and Confused. Yeah. So Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah.
Remember when he was talking to the girl and they were at the gas station and he had his arm out and he was just like, "You should come to this party." He was like, "Oh, well, no, not that part." They were driving in the car, and it was like, "Do you have a joint?" Yeah. And he's like, "Oh, no, yeah. It'd be a lot cooler if you did." So that was the sound that I just posted. Yeah, so
the pre-pedo stage.
Oh yeah, yeah. I don't know. He's a good actor.
Best thing about high school girls as I get older. Or, I'm sorry, college girls. It was college girls, right?
Yeah, college
girls. Yeah. So not fully pedo.
Yeah, yeah. So,
well, best thing about goddamn, fucking the whole thing up.
I'm gonna edit this shit out. Yes, all right, guys, that's a wrap. Have a good day.
Before I bury my own company, see you guys later.
Redeem don't yourself. What were you gonna say?
Don't go to Fastlane. He's a pedophile. I'm gonna redeem myself now. The best thing about college girls is I get older and they stay the same age.
Yeah,
that's the fucking quote. And I'm sitting here talking about the best thing about pedophiles. God damn,
is that what he said in the movie?
Yes.
It's been a while since I've seen it. I can't remember that part.
Anyway. I do have a hat from Dixon Flannel Company that says "Shoot your local pedophile." So,
oh yeah, no, I do recognize that hat. I do see quite a people having it, and you should. You should.
Let's see, what time was that? So you're gonna have to edit the whole last like 2 minutes.
Yeah. Let's get that out of there. No, we keep it raw. It's unscripted. we all just like to have fun here, so we're just gonna let it roll.
Oh, baby, Fastlane
MC is a pedophile.
All right, so our events that are coming up, we're gonna be Builder Showcase,
or 18, you 19, like to 20th. Call it the Biker Build Off.
Taylor's gonna be like, he's gonna see me when I show up and be like, "Hey, welcome to the Biker Build Off." I'm like, "Dude, sorry, okay, I fucked it up."
Yeah, we got the Builder Showcase.
I had Builder in there. Yeah. So,
Builder Showcase, February 18th, 19th, and 20th. More so the 19th and 20th. The 18th is more of a setup day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being a Friday up in Cave Creek, there's still be people up there.
Yeah.
That's more of the setup day. And then we got Cave Creek Bike Week as well as AZ Bike Week. Pretty much April 1st to the 10th. Well, we've got a couple bikes that are going to be in the shows at AZ Bike Week.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta get with Taylor and see if they're doing any shows. I'm not sure if they are up at Roadhouse. But we got a couple bikes that are I got to kind of chauffeur around and figure out, you know, which events to put it in and which shows to put it in. So we'll figure that out. And then, at that point, the summer will hit. I know there's Rockabilly in November, right? And is Rockabilly. It November? AZ Rockabilly?
Oh, the Rockabilly Bash? Yeah, we were out there last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I brought the Rat Rod out. It was a good time. I took the Rat Rod on the drag strip. The three times that I rode on the drag strip, I smoked the first dude, and I had this, like, confidence of, like, hell yeah, dude, I'm a fucking smoke everyone. And I think I told you this. Yeah, and I'm pretty sure you saw me get absolutely obliterated. So I pull up and they, you know, have the old school style of, you know, she drops the flag and tells you to go. So
what kind of car was it though?
It was, I think it was an F-100.
Yeah, and the black one, right?
The black truck.
Yeah, so that guy was the reigning burnout champ.
He
has the tune on that. He could do 9,000 RPMs.
Oh my god. Yeah, well, here's the deal, okay? I don't know if this lady's first time doing this drag thing. So they're lining everyone up and we're all in a line to get on the drag, and as we're ready to go, I see this guy out of the left of my eye. My peripheral is shaking to my left, and I'm like, this lady better not line me up with this guy because I'm getting fucking smoked out. So next thing you know, she lets the guy in front of me go with the easier guy that I was hoping I would get, and then she points at me and points at that guy.
Yeah.
He's got a huge cam. Oh, you're da-dum, 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 da-dum. Yeah. And I'm like, dude, I'm getting fucking smoked. Guess what happened? Got smoked. There you go. Got it again. Yeah, and that was kind of embarrassing. And then I was trying to like be like, okay, that's one for one. Let me try the third one. And then they line me up with the T-bucket, and the dude's got a 454 motor in there. So that's basically putting a jet pack on a freaking lightweight, you know, rat rod style car. And that guy's, yeah, his rear end looked like it was about to fly off. That's how fast he was going. So all I see is his two wheels in the back just shaking like crazy. But, yeah, he was at least 5 car lengths in front of me. So
we had one guy. We were down at the me and my old lady, we got to be a judge for the burnout contest.
Mm-hmm.
And we had this one dude. It was like an old tea bucket. I don't remember what it was, but this dude.
Was it black?
Yeah.
That was the guy that smoked me.
In the tea bucket?
Yeah. The guy in the tea bucket is the last guy that smoked me. And then I retired my drag stripping days.
he was wearing the blue shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
he had a forward hat on.
Yep.
Yeah, that was him.
So that dude, when he got to the point.
I can't forget him. That was almost a year
ago.
Well,
you're going to laugh at this. So that dude, when he lined up for the burnout contest, he was hammered.
Mm.
Absolutely hammered.
That would explain the
Yeah, typically, a lot of those guys I would assume be hammered. Do you have the video?
Yeah, I got the video of the truck, so you can hear the RPMs. See, oh, my God, yeah, play it. I don't want to get it too loud on this thing. But, so, was it that truck?
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
I can't forget it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I have dreams. I wake up in sweats in the middle of night.
Nightmares.
Oh, my God.
Nightmares. So, you can hear, so, again, this guy has won the burnout contest 3 years in a row now.
Oh, of course.
We got to find out who this guy is.
Ooh, there's a lot of smoke. Oh, he's got his horns, his fingers out.
The crazy part about that is those wheel chocks, the wheel chocks that are sitting in front of his tire, he's about 2 inches away from them.
Oh.
He's not sitting on the wheel chocks.
Really?
There's that much power in it, and his truck will not move.
That's just cheap insurance.
Yeah.
In case he flew.
Yeah.
Damn, he's got some money in this thing.
Yeah.
And if you see it, that's what I love about the car scene, though, is it looks like a sleeper. Like, it looks like a piece of garbage.
Yeah,
you know, if anyone who didn't know cars saw
I
that.
I love sleepers.
Yeah.
Everything about a sleeper. There's a video out there. It's a old video. There's a red.
Nova?
It's like a red Town & Country van. Mm-hmm. Chrysler Town & Country. It's got a 2JZ in it.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Like, I love everything about sleepers. I don't care what it is.
Yeah. It could be a complete piece of junk.
It could be a Ford fucking Pinto.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
And you just see this thing haul ass down the strip or whatever it's doing. If it's a sleeper, I'm about it.
Yeah. The thing about the 62 Nova I got, I feel like that guy still would have smoked me. There's nothing I could have done. There's nothing I can redeem myself. Yeah, that's a good picture.
Yeah. Got a picture with everybody.
It was super windy that day.
Yeah.
And half of my tent was flying around everywhere. You know, and then we have our camper, and then we wake up in the morning, and half of my shit's just, like, flown off from over the night. And
so much dust everywhere.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, my God, this is not the ideal. We might do that again this year.
The Rockabilly?
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah.
And I liked all the music. It was a good time. There was a lot of show cars.
Yeah, the awesome, like just that era. You know, you think of, you know, pinup. Mm-hmm. You know, just that style, that era. There was
those pinup contests, though.
Yeah,
they are rigged.
Those.
I was like, who won? My neck just turned to, like, 90 degrees. What? Wow.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
She's probably, if she listens, she's going to be like, fuck you guys. Yeah. Anyway,
unfollow.
What about that time you decided to do donuts in front of all the classic cars?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I heard about that.
I woke up in the morning, and I was just feeling it, and I think Lindsay was my biggest hype man for that morning.
Yeah,
and I think I had some coffee, and I was feeling it, and did some donuts and kicked up some rocks, and there were some guys that were standing around maybe 30, 40 feet away with their cars. You're a fucking asshole. And I'm like, have some fun, dude.
Their car has not been driven or touched in years.
Yeah, it's like, come on. You have a show pony.
Job.
Yeah, chill out,
trailer
dude.
Queen.
Maybe you should get out here and do this.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that was a really cool event. And then at some point coming up, they haven't had it in the last 2 years, and it's kind of a bummer because it's probably one of my favorite shows is the Vegas Bike Fest.
Oh, yeah, I've been there.
Yeah.
It was a couple years ago. I saw Steel Panther live.
Yeah, yeah, we were there that year.
You were there. You came with
in
me.
In Vegas, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
That was 2018.
Oh, you were there?
My old lady actually got up on stage and got a badass photo with Styx.
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That was before we knew each other.
How cool would that have been, though? Like, if we knew each other, we would have partied all night.
Oh, dude. Like,
yeah, that would have been good.
Yeah, so we were there because we were there. We had a booth set up.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, we had a booth. We had
in that field for where the stage was?
To the left, where JL Audio, not JL Audio, J&M Audio.
Okay.
Where all the installers,
yeah.
we were right across from them, and I'm pretty damn sure Nevada did this, or Las Vegas did this on purpose. They saw us, Fastlane Speed Shop, and they put us right next to Nevada State Patrol.
Oh, my God. Really?
They put us right next to their booth.
I can think of 10 other people that were there that probably would have been more suited to be next to them.
So, but we were up kind of the road, what is that, like 3rd Street or something like that, that goes to the entrance of Golden Nugget.
Mm-hmm.
We were right there. We were right by the front entrance on the street side, not in the turf area.
Yeah.
We were on the street side. So we were there. We had 6 bikes. My blue bike actually took 2nd at the, Full Throttle magazine show.
Nice.
So that was kind of cool.
When is that event?
So that's the thing. Normally it's the first week of October. It's October 1st through the 4th.
Okay.
But the last couple years, you know, 2020, obviously it wasn't there.
2021 didn't happen.
2021 didn't happen, or no, I'm sorry, 2019 they didn't have it, 2020 they didn't have it, 2021, which, you know, had just passed, they were supposed to have it.
Oh, I remember that. I got an email update.
Yeah, or no, did they do it in 2019? I think that was when we were there.
Mm.
Man, these years have
I can't remember.
But anyways, the last couple years they haven't had it, because of the pandemic and everything going on, but apparently they're selling the event to some other company, and this last email that we got from them for last year, the negotiations weren't going well or something like that or whatever, but so they canceled last year, and they're saying that they're supposed to have it this year, so I'm hoping they do. But the only thing that makes me kind of nervous is when they're going to announce it and what the dates are, and then
so you can prepare for it.
But it will, that and where they're going to have it. Cause apparently what I found out through there, you know, cause we talked to our last representative, that when we were there for 2018 or whenever it was, when we were up there for that, you know what? It was 2019.
Mm-hmm.
It was 2019 with Steel Panther.
Yeah. I feel like it wasn't that long ago.
Yeah. But, there was a guy named Steve, he goes by Wheels. This is a guy in a wheelchair.
Mm.
Dude, he rides bikes too. Mm-hmm. He's got a full, he races crotch rockets on a MotoGP, and he's a paraplegic.
Wow.
Yeah. And he's fast. Crazy. He's very fast.
He's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, so we had been kind of talking with him a little bit, cause we, you know, we kind of befriended him, and he was telling us that, apparently the event used to be in Reno or Laughlin. It was either Reno or Laughlin, and the company that's purchasing it might be moving it to either Reno or Laughlin again.
Mm.
And so I'm like, you know, at that point, I don't even want to go.
Yeah, because you're like, it's in Vegas.
In Vegas. It's Vegas Bike Fest. You can't have Laughlin Bike Fest. Like,
right.
You know, they already have that.
Doesn't sound really as enticing.
Yeah.
Yeah, you want to make a trip. I mean, most people will just hear Las Vegas and think, well, if anything happens, I'll just go and gamble, you know, and have some fun.
We my aunt and uncle live out there. They actually live out in Henderson. So when we go, you know, it's, you know, Vegas is what, only 4 hours from here?
Yeah.
Four and a half. So we'll just go up there and, you know, knock on the door and be like, hey, auntie, hey, uncle, we're going to be here this weekend. Oh, okay. You know,
I forget why we went. I think there was a reason, but I think we mainly just wanted to scope it out and see how it was.
Yeah.
You know, cause we heard about it and people ask us all the time, hey, you're going to be at this event, you're going to do this and that. And I'm just like, I kind of have to scope it out first, which I kind of wish I did with Sturgis this past year.
Yeah.
Oof. That was very interesting.
Yeah.
To say the least, but yeah, that was, I don't even want to get into that, but you already know the whole story.
Yeah.
So.
I've actually never been to Sturgis.
Really?
Yep.
Well, it is what everyone says it is. Let's just say that. A lot of titties, a lot of saggy titties, well, not really nice ones.
I'm a little nervous to go. So, you know, not to get too personal in family history, but first time that my dad went, he went to jail.
Mm.
I don't remember what for, you know, he never told us, but he went to jail. first time my older brother went, he went to jail. And I'm afraid to break family tradition.
Well, guess what, dude? I got pulled over on the first day out at Sturgis. So yeah, luckily, you know, the cop was cool, but, you know, I told you the whole story. I didn't, yeah. It was something so stupid. I didn't put my feet
you
down
didn't
at
put,
a stop sign.
You didn't put both feet down at
right,
a stop sign.
Right. And
you can be rolling. You can roll through it.
Right.
But if both feet don't come down, you can get pulled over.
That was nuts. And that's exactly what he said, you know? And I was just like, I heard all these stories before going out there. People are telling me, like, you know, just be careful, this and that. Yep. And I was just like, nah, I'll be good. But after being at a tent for almost 16 hours straight, I'm not thinking right. I just want to get the fuck home.
Yep.
So, yeah, when that, oh, whoa, whoa.
What?
Whoa. Can I get this shit off the table? Whoa. Thanks, babes. You got us pizza.
All right, cool. We'll see you guys later.
All right. Thanks for listening for the last hour and a half. Bye. Yeah, we probably should wrap it up.
Yeah, we,
man, so.
We probably should.
All right, guys.
We'll have to come in for another part two sometime.
Yeah, yeah. It's the whole thing is just kind of spontaneous.
Yeah.
Get on here and have some fun and talk some shit. Well, because I was making hats, so that's why all this equipment's on the table. Yeah. I know. All right, guys, so we're going to wrap it up here. Thank you so much for listening. You want to drop your name, all your Instagrams, and social media is this.
Yeah. Yeah, so Facebook is Fastlane Speed Shop. Instagram is fast_lane_MC. Website is fastlanemc.com.
Yeah, and you also sell some merch. So you have some merch on there too.
Yeah, we haven't moved over to online sales yet. It's more or less in person, but we do have we've got long sleeves, t-shirts, sweatshirts, hats, beanies. As soon as summer starts getting closer and it starts warming up, we'll get our tank tops out there again.
Yeah, I'm already working on summer stuff right now. Yep. It's crazy. So cool, guys. Well, thank you for listening, and hope you guys enjoy this podcast. Stay tuned for the next one, and that's a wrap.